Take your Bibles. You can turn to Psalms 19 and then over to James. This is a sermon I've been putting off. It's a sermon that I didn't really want to preach. It fell in nicely with choosing and the choices that we make in our lives. Today is choosing to speak wisely. It hits home pretty close. Jean asked me what I was doing at my desk on Monday, and I told her I was cutting out of my sermon everything that convicted me. And when I was done, oh, that's only half of it. That's what I had left. So I figured, well, Lord, I guess I better just preach to myself as well. So here goes. Our words have a profound impact on our own lives, as well as the lives of those around us. Today we will see the potential our words have both in a positive and a destructive way. And we will see if our speech, the things we say, are pleasing to the Lord. That's really something to think about. Is your speech and the way you talk, is it pleasing to the Lord? We so easily let words slip out without even considering the effect they will have on others. Scripture teaches us that our words are an indicator of what's really going on in our hearts. So we must learn to think before we speak and to use our words to praise the Lord and encourage others. Let me ask you a question. Do you think women or men talk more? I have an opinion, but I ain't going there today. I don't want to open that can of worms. So to be safe, I took the short road. And I said, I found a survey that said, it was conducted a few years ago. It concluded that men and women both speak about the same amount. Let's go with that this morning, okay? Save you guys. Do you know that we roughly speak 16,000 words per day? Think about that. 16,000 words. We speak enough words in 1 week to fill a 500-page book. And with just the words we use in everyday conversation, we could fill over 50 huge volumes each year. That's something to think about. As I thought about that, actually, I wonder what kind of reading that would be. If all our words were concise into a volume, what kind of reading would that be? Do you ever think about that? Our words are significant. They're a significant part of our lives and the lives of those to whom we speak. No wonder David prayed that his speech would be acceptable to the Lord. Paul read this verse. This verse is precious to me. Psalms 19:14. If you'll turn there. I asked you to turn to Psalms. If you'll turn to chapter 19, Paul read this verse, but I'd like to read it again. I'd like you to see it. I'd like you to memorize it if you could. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Words affect us more than we realize, and that's the truth. If you take a minute, turn to James chapter 3, if you would, please. James 3:5, we studied this a while back. James says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Have you ever experienced a wildfire? Has anybody here done that? We did, a small one. The neighbor up the road started a bonfire in a plowed field. It was a huge pile of wood. And the wind kicked up. And it blew a hunk of wood. He said he saw it. He watched it. It went clear in the air and down into the swamp, which was behind our house. and it burned. I don't know if you've ever been, a lot of you have been to our home. It burned the whole swamp behind us. And when Jean called me and told me that it was all on fire, I left work in Watertown. And about halfway home, I saw the smoke. I was like, oh, my word. And when I got home, the fire truck was sitting right next to our propane tank. It had burned right up to the propane tank. And it took 5-alarm fire to get that little wildfire contained. Think about these big ones out west. You know, often these wildfires are caused by one little match left unattended. Frank wasn't paying attention, and it got out of hand. As you might expect, a topic of this significance is a substantial theme in the pages of Scripture. Unfortunately, I didn't have to hunt too far to get a huge amount of verses for this sermon. That the Bible has a lot to say about how we speak and what we speak. We're just going to hit the top of it this morning. The book of Proverbs especially has many verses about words and the tongue. On your insert where the song was, on the back of that insert, I have compiled a list of verses that we won't even get to today, but verses that I thought were very important. And I hope they will be helpful, a helpful reference point for you as you strive to choose courteous speech. So if you're following the outline on the back of the bulletin, I point to a powerful influence. Today I want to focus on what we say and how we say it. Words are not just letters strung together. A word can be a bomb, or a bomb. Probably didn't say that right. A positive word makes you feel good. A negative word leaves you feeling depressed and defeated. Words can make us laugh. They can make us cry. Words can make us happy or angry. A good word will build up, strengthen, and encourage. But a careless word can tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck reputations as they wound, hurt, and destroy. I want us to think about the words we use and realize that our words have an incredible influence for good or for bad. So let's look at, first of all, point A, positive words, if you've taken notes. Positive words. Always start with a good, right? You know it's coming, right? I didn't cut that out. Some of the most positive experiences of my life have rested on words of encouragement or help. Each time I benefit from the positive words of others, I am motivated that more now than ever before to use my words in an uplifting way. Proverbs 15:23 says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." There's great satisfaction in being able to give an honest, helpful answer. Also, it's great to give a timely word spoken at just the right time to meet a particular need. You ever had that happen? Someone says something to you right at the right time that really encourages you at a time that you really, really need it. I wrote here how good that is. It really is. Another verse that tells us some of the positive influence our words can have are Isaiah. I thought I was going to say Proverbs, didn't you? Isaiah 54. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Good verse. Positive words give instruction and wisdom. Positive words give direction. Positive words praise the Lord. Positive words encourage others. Positive words are pleasant and appropriate. Positive words facilitate healing, and they bring security and truth. Folks, this is the power of that little thing that wags in our mouth, our tongue. If we will learn to choose our words carefully and wisely, we can positively invest in the lives of others just with our simple words. Something this powerful is able to be used for harm as well. If our words are not positive, then they're negative or destructive, which is point B, destructive words. Remember this little poem? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Do you remember that, chanting that on the playground as a kid? How long did it take you to realize that this little saying is completely untrue? I'm guessing not very long. We just said the catchy phrase to cover up the very real hurt we felt in our hearts when someone spoke negatively to us. Just our words have the potential for positive influence. They have the potential to be destructive. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13, if you would, please. Proverbs 13. You might as well keep your finger in Proverbs. It'll be there, I think, for the rest of the morning, at least till 1. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So I thought, what kind of words destroy? What kind of words destroy? Well, first of all, idle words. Idle words. It's interesting to me. Let me read you the verse first. Matthew 12:36. Matthew 12:36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. It's interesting to me that the word idle in the Greek means lazy, free from work. This tells me that every word that I speak that doesn't produce some good is an idle word. And God will hold us accountable for every idle word that we say. We will give an account for every careless word that we speak. Whether or not it is immoral, vulgar, cruel, or blasphemous, we will have to give an account even for the words that are careless. The basic meaning of careless, it means useless, barren, unproductive, and otherwise worthless. Such words include those that are flippant, irresponsible, or in any way inappropriate. Then we see number two, angry words. The word anger is just one letter away from the word danger. Unfortunately, once spoken, angry words cannot be taken back. Proverbs 15:1, just a couple pages over from where you were. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Charles Spurgeon had a couple of different sayings about anger. I want to read them to you. He says, anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. If you struggle with anger or reacting, I have a little book on the back table that helped me tremendously. I bought it years and years ago. It's called Your Reactions Are Showing. I have like 20 copies back there. They're free. Just take one if you struggle with that. It's a very, very good book, and it shows you how you can control your responses. Very important. If you're taking notes, thirdly, insincere words. Words of praise and encouragement are helpful, but insincere words are flattery and they are hurtful. They feed pride in others and are usually used by the speaker as a tool of manipulation. Be very careful to give genuine praise rather than flattery, and be cautious of those who attempt to flatter you. Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Psalms actually has something to say about that also. Psalms 55:21. "The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they a drawn sword. Insincere words are among the most careless and worthless that men speak, and are unfortunately among the most common. 4, gossip. I read this little story. I liked it. You may not, but that's fine. You're going to hear. A man in a small village had been found guilty in starting a malicious rumor about another man. The rumor was not only untrue, but it had seriously damaged the other man's reputation and his family. As is often the custom in a small village, the accused was taken before the chief of the village, who served as the judge. After hearing the facts of the case, the chief found the accused to be guilty and prepared a unique sentence. The old, wise chief handed the man a large bag of feathers and told him to place a feather on the doorstep of every person to whom he had told the rumor. The man was relieved at such a light punishment and quickly took the bag of feathers and set about his task. 4 hours later, the man returned to the chief with an empty bag and said, 'I completed your task, sir. Is there anything else?' 'Yes,' the wise chief replied. 'Report to me in the morning, and I'll give you the second half of your punishment.' Early the next morning, the man found his way to the chief for the final part of his punishment. The chief said, 'Gather all the feathers you put out last afternoon and return them to the bag.' 'But sir,' the man replied, 'didn't you hear the storm that raged through the village last night? Didn't you feel the force of the winds that blew? It would be impossible to know where all those feathers are now.' The wise old chief raised his index finger and pointed knowingly to the man. 'Now you see, my child, the damage that you have done to another. For although you told only a few lies here and there, the storm of gossip took hold of these lies and spread them far beyond your grasp to undo them.'" End of story. But it has a great point. The point is, the thing about gossip is that you can regret what you said, but you can never fully undo what you've done. That's something to think about. As much as we hate to admit it, we do struggle with gossip at times. This deadly sin of the tongue destroys relationships and damages reputations. We would do well to memorize these next few verses about gossip, and maybe place them close to our telephones or our computers. Just let me read you these. Proverbs 11:13, if you want to turn there, you're there. Proverbs 11:13. It says, "A talebearer," that word means gossip, "revealeth secrets, but he that is of the faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Proverbs 15:28. "The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil." One little comment. A righteous man thinks before he speaks. He meditates on how to answer. An ungodly man opens his mouth, and out comes a torrent of profanity, filth, and vileness. And then the third verse is Proverbs 16, 27 and 28. I guess I lied. That's four verses, right? Proverbs 16, 27 and 28. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. First, we see the ungodly man as one who digs up evil, and whose speech is like a burning fire, scorching and injuring. And then the perverse man, which the Bible calls a forward man, the perverse man is one who distorts the truth by lying, shading the truth, or withholding the facts. He spreads strife. A talebearer, a gossip, separates close friends. Then five, lying words. Lying words. We live in a society that excuses lying as acceptable and sometimes even necessary. We are taught to lie so we won't hurt someone's feelings. Sometimes we lie in order to protect ourselves or to get ahead. We might even lie to try to get others to like us more. But no matter how we rationalize it, a lie is a lie, and God does not like it. He detests it. Turn with me to Proverbs 6, if you would. You know these verses. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look. What's the second one? A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that are swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. A tongue that lies is one that totally disregards and distorts the truth. The reference here in Proverbs is to lying in general. It is a broad term that covers all types and degrees of untruth. God hates what are commonly called little white lies. Little white lies are thought by many to be harmless and excusable. God also hates the gross and dangerous lies as well. Why does God despise this particular sin? Do you ever think about that? Why does God hate a lying tongue? Any thoughts? Because God is truth. God is truth. Lying totally contradicts the character of our God. As David said in Psalms 122, I like this verse, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." If you're taking notes, point number six is murmuring and complaining. I don't do that, the complaining part anyway. Isn't complaining the American way? It's too hot. It's too cold. It's not sunny. It's too sunny. I don't like my job. We complain about everything because it comes so easily. We complain about the weather. We complain about our schedules. We complain about lost opportunities. We complain about what we don't have. And we complain about everything else that we can think of. Yet God plainly tells us that complaining is dishonoring and displeasing to him. I actually have a verse to back that up. Numbers 11, verse 1. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Turn to Philippians, if you would. That's in the New Testament. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." The word murmuring here means to mutter, murmur, grumble, or complain. It means the quiet, soft, behind-the-back undertone of murmuring and grumbling. It is the kind of criticism, dissatisfaction, fault-finding, and gossip that goes on behind our backs. The word disputing in this verse means arguments, outward and vocal questionings, and expressions of doubt. Here's the point I want to make. Murmurings and disputes are never of God. Never. Never. This is the very point of this charge. What does he say? I highlighted this in my Bible. Do all things, I highlighted that, all things without murmuring and disputes. Murmuring disputes were the very sins that brought judgment upon so many Jews in the wilderness wanderings of Israel. So folks, the power of our words, for good or for bad, is great. We must choose to obey God's instruction regarding our speech. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." Let us determine that no corrupt or unwholesome words will be part of our vocabulary anymore. Then point three, an honest exposure. The Bible refers to our tongue as a little member of the body. And as we read in James 3:5, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." But little as it is, the tongue is still very important. Have you burned your tongue when sipping a hot coffee? What about when you bite your tongue? I don't have many teeth down here, and I bite my tongue a lot trying to chew my food. That really smarts. Even my toes say, "Hey, what's going on up there?" That really smarted. And when you go to the doctor, he asks you to stick your tongue out because it tells him things about what's going on inside your body. And just as your tongue can reveal your physical condition, it can also reveal your spiritual condition as well. Sometimes we need to place a spiritual thermometer under our tongue to check our spiritual temperature. Our speech is a reflection of our true character. Your words will reveal the real you. I have a verse to back that up, a good one that you should read. Luke 6:45. Luke 6:45. "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So think honestly for a moment. How does your speech identify you? Are you known as a gossip or a complainer? Does your speech reveal your divisive spirit? Do your words encourage or uplift? Are you honest? How you may characterize yourself as a gossip or a complainer, but what do other people hear? You may not think that you're a gossip or a complainer, but what do other people hear? Whether we like it or not, people hear what we say and it identify us by it. Matthew 12:37 tells us that. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Even though we may appear to be good Christians, our tongues will reveal whether or not that is really the case. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but he deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Our heart is the storehouse for our tongue. Everything we allow in our hearts comes out of our mouths. So, point number four, we need a makeover. We need a makeover of our mouths. How can you transform your speech? If you feel convicted, as I do, that the words of your mouth are not always acceptable to your Lord, to our Lord, Psalms 19:14, how can we change that? Well, here are a few things I think will help you have a complete makeover. A, examine your heart. It's not a fun thing to do, but you need to do it. We've already seen that the mouth is simply the exit point for the feelings of our heart. If we want to change our speech, then we have to ask God to change our hearts. I love Psalms 139:23-24. I read these verses to you a couple weeks ago. I'm going to read again to you. I'd like you to turn there again. I'd like you to memorize these verses if you can. Psalms 139:23-24. It's also a song I like. Psalms 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to ask God to do a thorough heart examination. Are you hurting this morning? Are you hurting? Often hurting people hurt others. Are you angry? Are you harboring any bitterness in your heart? These emotions are bound to result in distasteful speech. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Inevitably, when God examines your heart, and when you see yourself as He sees you, you will be painfully aware of some of the heart sins that need to be confessed and forsaken. Bring those things to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 is a wonderful verse. If you confess, He'll forgive. And He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We not only need to examine our hearts, we need to rely more on the Holy Spirit. Even with our best intentions, we simply are not able to control such a powerful force as our tongues. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. This is not to say that the tongue is uncontrollable, for the Holy Spirit is willing to control our tongues if we will but surrender them to Him. James 3:3 tells us just as we use a bit to control a horse, we should allow the Holy Spirit to control our mouths. And just as soldiers stand guard to protect something valuable, so we should ask the Holy Spirit to guard our speech. Psalms 141:3 says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. The words we speak are very important to the Holy Spirit, and we ignore His promptings to use our tongues as He directs, we actually grieve him. Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. If we have controlled and gracious speech, we must yield our tongues to the Holy Spirit's direction. Need to ask the Lord to help you with this. See, we need to renew our mind. We need to renew our mind. Have you ever noticed that you say what you've been thinking about? We must be careful then to censor our thoughts. We've all heard the saying, garbage in, garbage out. If we are allowing our minds to dwell on that which is negative toward others, we will speak hurtful words. This is why God instructs us to renew our minds, to fill our thinking with His Word and His truth. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God gives us the perfect filter to determine what we will allow to fill our minds. And I've said this verse many times. It's one of my favorites. Philippians 4, I think I say that about a lot, but I like these verses. Philippians 4, 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." That pretty well covers it. D, choose your words carefully. Every morning we stand in front of our closet and pick out our outfits for the day. Some of us take great care in making sure that we have just the right outfit. Others of us, like myself, may not take as long. You're lucky I have my wife, folks. I would wear my favorite shirt, my favorite tie, and my jeans. And she says, "Nope, that don't go together. Go back and change." And I'm grateful. I look halfway decent. I don't take long to pick out my clothes. But you know what? We don't stand in front of our closet with our eyes closed and reach for the first thing we touch. How would your speech improve if we took as much care choosing our words as we choose our clothes? The problem is, and I highlighted this, our problem is that we often speak before we think. And that's one of the things that attacks and your reactions are showing. Sometimes when someone attacks you, you speak before you think. Sometimes it's better off not to say anything and to think about it before you react. That's a hard one. Only the Holy Spirit can help you with that. And you got to make the choice that you're not going to do it, or try not to do it. And when you do, you got to say, "Oh man, I blew it. Lord, you got to forgive me." Proverbs 29:20 says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." That's not a very nice thing to say. Sometimes we just need to slow down and think. I have a crew stick that helps us think through what we say before we say it. It's think, T-H-I-N-K. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring, encouraging, and building up? N, is it necessary? Is it necessary? Do I need to say anything at all? K, is it kind? Are those words based on a desire to help? I like that. By the time you get through all that, you forget what you were angry about. It helps. It helps you to think. Then point E, if you're taking notes, we need to listen more. We need to listen more. There are times when it's best just to remain silent. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." As we rely on the Holy Spirit, He will prompt you to know when to not say anything at all. And you should listen to that. Calvin Coolidge once said, "I have never been hurt by anything I did not say." I like that. I like that. Sometimes it's good to remain quiet during times of grief, anger, or uncertainty. By taking time to listen, we learn. We learn about the needs of others. We hear what is on their hearts. We give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to us as how we can offer help and encouragement. The old proverb says, "Talking comes by nature, silence by wisdom." I like that. So in closing here, one of the most significant choices in our daily lives is the choice of our words. Not only does this choice affect us, but it also affects all with whom we speak. The following poem by an anonymous author reminds me of the power of our words. Very simple poem, but I really liked it. It spoke to me. "I stood on the streets of a busy town, watching men tear a building down. With a ho, heave, ho, and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and a side wall fell. I asked the foreman of the crew, 'Are those men as skilled as those you'd hire if you wanted to build?' 'Oh, no,' he said. 'No, indeed. Just common labor is all I need. I can tear down as much in a day or two as would take skilled men a year to do.' And then I thought, as I went on my way, just which of these two roles am I trying to play? Have I walked life's road with care, measuring each word with rule and square? Or am I one of those who roam the town, content with the labor of tearing down?" I don't know about you. I think I do know about you. Don't we want to be builders and encouragers with our words? I want to use the words that will nurture life and grow. I hope that's your desire as well. I like Colossians 4:6, and I want to close with this. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." If our conversation is to be always with grace, it must be courteous, humble, and Christ-like. It should be free from gossip, foolishness, uncleanness, and bitterness. Let's choose to speak wisely. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you help each one of us with the words that we speak and the way we speak them. And I pray, Lord, if there's one here that does not know you as Savior, I pray, Lord, that you'd work in that heart today. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity again to get together and worship you and study your word together. I pray, Lord, you give each one a safe trip home. And I pray, Lord, you bring each one back next week. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.